Well, 1976 was not only our bicentennial year, but 1976 was the year of baseball. I'm talking Little League baseball. So if you see that guy in the bottom left down there with the gold aluminum bat, that would be me in 1976. I was playing baseball. That's my dad is an assistant coach there up on the far left as well. You know, I loved playing baseball. It was a great joy and got to play for several years. But, you know, it was the fun of the game, but it was just kind of the fun and camaraderie of being on a team. And after every game, we all would run to the concession stand because after every game, we got a free snow cone. It didn't make any difference how good you played, how poorly you played. It didn't make any difference if you had to sit on the bench a couple of innings. It didn't make any difference if you made errors and the ground ball went between your legs or you made a bad throw. Everybody who put on the uniform, who signed up for the team, who got into the game, got to have a snow cone. And that was a big, exciting deal. And then after we would have our snow cone or be eating our snow cone, we would all go sit over in a grassy area and there our coach would talk to us. He might tell us a little bit about what we need to work on, or he might tell us, hey, the next practice and the next games are coming up. But there was something special that he would do as well. At the end of the game, if you did something very, very well, if you hit a home run, if you made some great defensive plays, if you came in, as I did in this grade, and struck out the side with the bases loaded. I struck three guys out in a row. I don't really remember it that much, but that's what my parents tell me, okay? So you would get the game ball. Now, the game ball was signed by everybody on our team. So Spike and Sparky and Dennis and Derek. And I looked at this ball. It was in a drawer for years. And then I threw it in a box. And actually, just over the last few years, I found it again. And I realized I signed my own game ball. So anyway, when you did something good, when you did something great, when you achieved something that was above the ordinary, you got the game ball. Now, everybody got to play. Everybody got to put on the uniform. Everybody got to enjoy the snow cone. Everybody got to be part of the team. But when you did something well, you were rewarded. I find in our spiritual life often that some people are just saying, you know what? I'm just going to go to heaven when I die, and that's good enough. And yet, the Lord says, if you work, if you serve, if you go the extra mile, there are rewards for you. If you will take that extra step and make that extra sacrifice, there are opportunities for you to get rewards in heaven. I find it amazing that in the United States, we talk to our kids about ambition. We want them to be ambitious about their education. We want them to be ambitious about their vocation. Often we can be ambitious about our vacations and where we're going next, or we're ambitious about our accumulation, all the stuff that we see out there that we want to buy. But I want to challenge you as we think about the judgment seat of Christ and rewards to have some spiritual motivation and ambition so that you can be rewarded in heaven, living with more rewards and less regrets, so that we find the Bible tells us that there is a day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account, and all that we have done on earth is going to be tested by the fire. Take your Bibles this morning with me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Last week, we started in talking about the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Paul says we all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And this morning, I want to pick up on that same theme and look at it, not this time from 2 Corinthians, but from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to pick up in verse number 11. For no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. There's the reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. And with that, let's pray. God, I ask that you would speak to us today, and Lord, that you would move in this place. God, that our hearts would be open. And Lord, I pray that you would give our congregation a heart of motivation and ambition for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about spiritual rewards and living with more rewards and less regrets, we find that all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's believers. See, the decisions that you make in this life have eternal ramifications. The decision of salvation determines the destiny of your eternity in heaven or hell, whether you receive Christ or do not. Further, the choices that you make on service are going to determine your rewards. Now, throughout the scripture, we don't talk necessarily about it a lot, but nearly every New Testament writer talks about spiritual rewards. Now, we didn't have room in the back, but I want to just share with you some verses on the people that talk about spiritual rewards. Jesus talks about rewards in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. He says, "And blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you." Jesus said, when we face persecution and we move through it with joy, there's great reward. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 27, it says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and he will reward each one according to his works." Jesus talks about rewards. Paul talks about rewards. He has just mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 14 that the fire is going to test us, and what survives the fire will then turn into eternal rewards. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that the Lord may repay us for what we have done in the body, whether good or evil. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, has promised for me, but not for me only, but to all those who love his appearing." Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. The writer of Hebrews talks about it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Read Hebrews 11. Did people get great rewards? Think about Abel. What did he get for his reward? The Lord told him, "Man, you had a great offering and now your brother kills you." No, their rewards were ahead of them. The greatest rewards were still yet to come. James talks to us about rewards in James chapter 1 and verse number 12. He says, "Blessed is the man who endures trials or temptations, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Peter talks about rewards in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. "And when the chief shepherd comes, you will receive the crown of glory, which is unfading." John talks about rewards in 2 John verse 8, where it says, "Look to yourselves that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may have a full reward." And then Jesus, the last chapter, some of the last verses in all the Bible, he starts in the Sermon on the Mount and says, "Hey, when people persecute you, you're going to have great reward in heaven." And then in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12, Jesus says, "Look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each according to his work." Jesus talks about reward. So if Jesus and Paul and the writer of Hebrews and James and Peter and John all talk about spiritual rewards, I would say that's a pretty big group of guys to talk about it, and that we ought to do something about it, to express some spiritual ambition and to be prepared to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So this morning, I want to give you three overall big kind of thoughts. And the first one is already all spilled out for you. As you look at that, as we look at this testing that's going to come by fire, we first think about this, recognizing the foundational truths about rewards. Recognize these foundational truths about rewards. And again, the answers are already all given to you. But what we find is the scripture makes it very clear, and we're going to move through this quickly, that salvation is for sinners and rewards are for saints. Salvation is for sinners. Now, as Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, he calls them brothers and sisters. Down in verse number 5, he said that Paul was at work and Apollos was at work and you believed. He's talking about believers. And as he writes in verse number 16, right after verse 1 Corinthians 3:15, he tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that he's writing to believers. Salvation is different than rewards. Salvation is different. Salvation is coming to that faith in Christ. It's coming to trust Jesus alone. Those who were baptized gave a profession of their faith. Salvation is for sinners. Rewards are for saints. Secondly, salvation is a gift and rewards are earned. Salvation is a gift and rewards are earned. Salvation is a free gift. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And what Paul is now talking about is earning rewards. It's talking about working and serving for the Lord so that we will receive rewards. Thirdly, salvation is by faith and rewards are by works. Salvation is by faith. Ephesians 2:8-10 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. We're saved not of works, we're saved by faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then in verse number 10, once you come to understand that, then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We are saved by faith, but we're saved to do good works. And when we do those good works, then we earn rewards. Salvation is also the same for everyone, but rewards are going to be different. Salvation is the same for all, but rewards are going to be different according to the service that we bring. Salvation comes the same way. John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. We're all saved the same way. But all of us are given different spiritual gifts, abilities, opportunities to do and serve in different ways to receive different rewards. Finally, salvation is a present possession where rewards are a future possession. Salvation is something that you have now. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. It's something that we have now. We have eternal life now. We have life in Christ now. Rewards are something that we will receive, as Paul would write in 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. And it's not only laid up for me, but it's laid up for all who love his appearing. The rewards are going to come in the future. Recognize the foundational truths, okay? You don't work your way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't do good works to get to heaven. It is a gift. It is by faith. It is the same way through Christ for all of us. And it's something that we can have and live in now. But works are something that we do after we come to know Christ so that we'll receive rewards. And we get the joy of serving and seeing lives impacted for eternity. Recognize these foundational truths. There's a lot of difference between works and rewards and salvation by faith as a gift from God. Foundational aspects. But secondly, we not only recognize these foundational aspects, as we think all the way back just a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us that these folks believed, and because these believers in Corinth who believed, he says down in verse number 8, and each one is going to receive his own reward. He's going to receive his own reward. Why? Because Paul and Apollos labored. So we have to secondly recognize the eternal opportunities that we have to serve. We recognize the eternal opportunities that we have to serve. And I want to give you five ways in which you can serve. And I'm going to move through this quickly. Five ways in which we can walk with the Lord and experience reward in heaven. First off, one of those opportunities is to walk with the Lord, to walk with the Lord. We're challenged to walk with him. I find it interesting that sometimes we just think, you know, I've got to be doing something great. I've got to do this big, hard thing. And yet, in Genesis 5:24, it says that Enoch walked with God and he was not because God took him. And then you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and you look at verse number 5. And as you look at Hebrews 11:5, it says this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken, he was approved as one who pleased God. How did he please God? You know what? The scripture tells us that he walked with God. That's what he did. He just walked with God. My challenge to you is just walk with God. He was approved because he walked with God. God was pleased with his life because he walked with God. And then what does verse number 6 say? It says, before he was taken, he pleased God, or he was approved of God. Then verse number 6. Now without faith, it's impossible to please God. Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Walk with God. I mean, just make it a daily practice to walk with the Lord. There is a truth and a reward that's going to come as we walk with him. Secondly, we witness. We witness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. This is with our life and with our lips. We witness. As we think about this witness, we recognize in Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let them see the goodness of what you are doing. Let them hear the goodness and the good news from your mouth. I have told you before, but I haven't told you in a while. If you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Got it?
I did.
All right. Hey, if you walk the walk, if you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, your walk is going to talk louder than your talk talks. There's a challenge of our life and our lips as we witness and share the message of Jesus with others. We do that through our life that seeks to glorify him, and we do that through our words that seek to glorify the Father. And as we glorify him, there are rewards in heaven. Thirdly, not only walking and witnessing, but there's the aspect of working. Serving in some kind of area of life. The Lord has given each of you different spiritual gifts. The Lord has given each of you different opportunities and abilities. The Lord has given you different experiences, and he leads different people across your path so that you can work. And you know what? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 42, it says this, that even when we present a cup of cold water to one of the little ones, one of his disciples, that he's not going to forget about our reward. Think about that. A cup of water to one of his disciples is worthy of reward. We don't have to do something great. Can you just be faithful where you are? Can you serve where you are? But you're serving with this purpose. You're serving with the purpose to glorify God and share the good news with others. You're serving with the purpose of help edifying brothers and sisters and building up brothers and sisters in Christ. It can be big things that the Lord calls us to. He might call you to step out and say yes to full-time ministry. He might, through his Spirit, say, it's time for you to take that step and go on that mission trip. He might say, it's time for you to get serious about stewardship and generosity, and I want you to take this big step. There's this aspect of work. But listen, don't overlook the little things. That all of it is to be done. Every aspect of our life, whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, we're to do to the glory of God. And our service begins at that moment that we wake up in the morning and we have the opportunity to be with the Lord and then walk with him and walk in front of others all day. Then there's the opportunity to worship. In Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to turn there, Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 10, there's a woman, a sinful woman, who comes into the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. And she comes and she worships the Lord. What she does is she takes this very expensive perfume and breaks it open and pours it upon Jesus. And Jesus, as the disciples and all those kind of get indignant, he says, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a noble thing. She's done something good, something that has pleased me." Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. When we act in faith, even when he calls us to do something hard, it pleases him. "She has done this noble thing for me. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. By pouring this perfume on my body, she has prepared me for burial." What a picture. And then finally, in this aspect of working that we can do, and this is something all of us can do. All of us can do every one of these. There's not anything in this that every one of us can't do at some point in our life. And that last one then is giving. We just looked in giving in 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we finished up that book just a couple of months ago. But he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says that we are to instruct those who are rich, who are wealthy. And this is what he tells them to do. Instruct those who are rich to be rich in good works and to be generous and willing to share and store up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age. You look at that. You have eternal opportunities every day. You say, "I just don't get out like I used to. I can't do what I used to." Well, listen, then God's not going to call you to do what you used to. What's God calling you to do today? Who are you praying for? Who are you encouraging? Who are you lifting up? Who are you serving? Who are you witnessing to? There's opportunities in front of you. So you need to take advantage and do those things today. Third, we understand this, that there is going to be a spiritual assessment that comes in our life as well. And the spiritual assessment is what is summarized in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this. It says that the Lord is going to test everything with fire. He says the day is going to disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. It's going to be revealed by fire. All of us at some time in our life have taken a test. And as we have taken a test, we have recognized that with that test comes an assessment, a grade. Most of us have sat on the side of, we get a yearly job review. We have to answer for what we've done over the last year. You sit in with your boss and you go over what you have done. For some of us, when we go to buy a car or we go to buy a house, we recognize we turn in a bunch of papers so that they can do a financial assessment of us to see if they really think we're going to pay the bills or not. We have all kinds of assessments around us. But let me tell you, there is one coming that is far greater, by one who sees and knows everything about us and how we spend every second of every day and every moment since we have received Christ. There is coming a final review. And this is not just a final review. It tells us that this final review is going to be a test of fire. The test of fire is going to be the final review. I want you to picture it this way. If the Lord just said, I'm going to give you this lot out in the ball field, and on that, you can build yourself whatever you want. You can build yourself whatever you want, but there's only some kind of things you can use. You can use either wood, hay, and straw, or you can use gold and silver and precious stones. Now, I recognize that, you know, the stones may be hard to form to build what you want, and it may be hard to do everything that the way you want. But let me tell you, when the day of fire comes, you will be thankful if you use the gold, the silver, and the precious stones versus using the wood, hay, and the straw. I'm back in that stage of my life where I'm reading The Three Little Pigs. And it's a great stage to be in. As the one builds a house and the big bad wolf blows it down, and another builds a house, one of straw, one of wood, and the big bad wolf blows them down, and then comes the house of bricks and he's unable to destroy it. There is coming a day of assessment in our life when God's going to say, what did you build with what I gave you? What did you do with the opportunities you had, the abilities that I gave you? What did you do with the spiritual gifts that you were given at that time of salvation? What did you do as a steward? And God's going to take the evaluation of our life, and he's going to put it in the fire. And all that is of wood, hay, and straw is going to be burned and lost. And only that which is of gold and silver and precious stones will survive. The test of fire. Picture this with me. A man doesn't believe in banks, and so he takes all of his cash and he sticks it in boxes. And he's going to move from St. Charles to Colorado. He's got all of his possessions. He's got his wife, his kids. He's got all of his stuff, all of his money. And he starts out 70 and he's going west and he's going through Kansas and it's hot. And all of a sudden the car, the moving truck bursts into flames. He is able to open the door and jump out and he loses everything else. He's lost his family, he's lost his possessions, he's lost everything. How do you think that guy's going to feel? Well, notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this, that if anyone's work he has built survives, he'll receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved. See, there's not only the test of fire, but there is the outcome of the test. And the outcome of the test is that we either receive rewards or loss. There is the outcome of the test. We either have the gold and silver and precious stones of our life that we have built upon that lasts and we're rewarded for that, or we have built our life with wood, hay, and straw, and we've packed everything up and tried to control everything in our life, and we have the opportunity to lose it all. My birthday's coming up. There was a day I was not. Now there is a day I am. That day of birth when I came into this world is an important day, especially to me. I'm going to live through my life, and there's going to come a day when I'm going to die. Now, from the time of my birth, I have experienced a second birth. I have experienced salvation through Jesus Christ alone, a new birth. So when that day of death comes, I recognize I will not have to face the eternal consequences of my sin. Jesus has already paid for all of those. But from that little dash, from the day of my birth to the day of my death, for eternity, I will receive what I have done in the body, whether good or useless, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. And I will be rewarded or I will experience loss. Not that I would lose my salvation, but I would lose the rewards. That's why 2 John says, in verse 8 says, look to yourselves. Keep an eye on yourself that you don't lose what you've worked for, but that you receive a full reward. Not everybody is ambitious to love and serve the Lord on the earth, but everyone will appear before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, when we appear before the Lord, there will be many who will regret that they were not more ambitious to love and serve the Lord. How ambitious are you? Are you going for snow cones or game balls? That's a hard question. Snow cones or game balls? I would imagine heaven probably have a non-calorie concession stand we can all enjoy. But next week, we're going to talk about what are those rewards? What will we receive when we get to heaven? And how will we respond when we get them? I want to ask you today, do you know that you know Jesus? And then may I ask today, are you ambitious in your heart for doing something that matters for eternity? Just ready to have a snow cone? Or ready to go for a game ball? With that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. I ask that you would take these next moments of reflection, that you would move and speak in the powerful and awesome name of Jesus Christ.